I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and you're very welcome back to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm news correspondent Noel Barden, and I'll be your host for this week. And I'll be joined by news editor Amy Ford, as well as news correspondents Declan O'Brien and Rachel Donovan. There was a huge uplift in the weather this week, and you'll hear a little bit about how that ties into our front page story in a short while. We'll also cover off the red hot demand for marginal land, how your MEPs voted on key farming issues over the past couple of years, and we'll bring you an update on fertiliser costs and the latest on revenue's position on VAT claim backs. So first up, I'll head to yourself, Amy Ford. On the front page this week, Adam Muzz has some good news, I suppose, that was brought on by the good weather and how this ties into the cattle trade. I suppose, what's the key takeaways from it, or how is the recent uplift kind of driving the cattle trade?
Yeah, and all a bit of positivity boosted back into the cattle trade this week thanks to the dry, sunny weather. I suppose 2 to 3 weeks ago, we'd have reported that there was a fall off in grass buyers in March purely because ground was untrafficable and farmers would face more costs by buying these animals, putting them in a shed and feeding them silage and possibly feed as well. So obviously, grass is the cheapest form of feed on any farm, especially in Ireland. And now that the weather has turned and ground has improved, with the drying out, those buyers are now back ringside and they're lighting up the trade in March. There's some exceptional prices being paid for cattle to go to grass this week, and our Mark Bids database shows that the dry week has benefited live Wainlands the most, with 200 to 300 kg Wainlands up 20 cent a kilo, or between 40 euro and 60 euro head on the previous week. So positivity there. We've Sean Lahey of Cork Marts. We spoke to him this week and he said that there's a lot more customers looking for light store cattle. Light Aberdeen Angus stores are passing the 3 euro a kilo mark and it could go up more in the next few weeks, he said. And he's also reported that numbers coming out for sale are up 500 head on previous weeks in the last few days. So that's also positive. And another, I suppose, angle that's featuring there, Noel, is the area natural constraints scheme. That's sort of injecting a bit of life into the trade as well, because farmers in that scheme, they need to have a minimum stocking rate for 28 weeks of 2024 to qualify the payment, or else they obviously don't get the payment. On the other side of things, in the factories are sort of struggling to get supplies with farmers concentrating on field work. So there's a focus more on obviously getting work done outside rather than bringing cattle into them, and bullocks are up 5 euro a kilo to a 5.15 to 5.20 euro base price. And I suppose positively as well, the sheep trade is also making serious gains this week. Hoggets and spring lambs are up 20 to 40 cent a kilo, and there's top price for spring lamb hitting 10 euro a kilo this week, prices which some farmers would probably never thought they would have seen. And there's more detail on that on page 7 from Darren Carty.
Yeah, definitely a bit of good news at last for both the beef and sheep farmers. And as you mentioned as well, plenty of field work going on, and this is inadvertently kind of kicking the factories as well to get them to lift their prices another little bit. So plenty of positivity there this week. And if we move a couple of pages in, I see our political editor, Pat O'Toole, has a very comprehensive kind of breakdown of the way Ireland's MEPs voted on key farming issues since the last European elections in 2019. And this breakdown is kind of ahead of the June elections, when many of these MEPs will be seeking re-election. You had a bit of a look over Pat's stuff there, Amy. I suppose, was there any bits that stood out for you? I see the only kind of issue that they seem to be united on might have been Brexit, but a lot of other votes, from the nature restoration law to pesticide reductions or whatever, there seemed to be big enough divergence between the different MEPs. I suppose, what bits kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, no, like, I suppose, look, this is kind of key coming up to the elections. We send, 14 people off to Europe in June, in the obviously the European elections. And I suppose, as you mentioned there, the difference in votes, the Brexit implementation back in March 2023, they were all fairly united on that. But I suppose no more than national politics here. With certain parties split on certain issues. The nature restoration law, I suppose, in more recent times has been the most contentious issue in the agricultural sector. And I suppose in February, the Parliament voted in favour of the law by a narrow margin. And that includes, obviously, the EU-wide commitment to restore habitats by a certain amount by 2030, 2040 and 2050. And it was supported by 11 of Ireland's MEPs, while Luke Mink-Flanagan and Chris McManus, an independent, and Sinn Féin respectively, both from the region that will be most affected by these proposals, and that's the Midlands, North and West. They both voted against it. You mentioned sustainable use regulation around pesticide control. That was voted down in the Parliament by a combination of right of centre MEPs who thought it went too far, and on the other hand, left-wing MEPs who felt it didn't go far enough, Pat writes this week. Eight Irish MEPs, so Barry Andrews, Deirdre Clune, Francis Fitzgerald, Billy Kelleher, Sean Kelly, Colin Markey, Chris McManus and Maria Walsh, so a mix of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin there, supported it, while Ciarán Cough, Claire Daly, Luke Mink-Flanagan, Grace O'Sullivan and Mick Wallace then opposed it. They were definitely, look, united on the Brexit side of things, Brexit Adjustment Reserve, Brexit implementation, kind of UK, EU equivalents. They all voted yes to that in something that has, I suppose, look, dominated their term out there as well. I don't want to say it's the gift that keeps on giving, because I think a lot of people are very tired of listening to Brexit and what it might happen. And I know there's changes still to come and stuff being pushed back. There's a full analysis and full breakdown of all the votes, the key votes. Pat looks at 9 key votes on page 8 of this week's paper. And it's well worth a read for anyone ahead of voting in the upcoming elections.
There is plenty of reading there. And as well, further on back the paper, we do have as well that independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara, has put his hat into the ring for the European elections in Ireland South. So I suppose McNamara is a farmer, and he said he will make farming issues key if he is elected. So plenty of activity there around the whole June elections this week, and we have plenty of coverage of that in the paper. So thanks for that, Amy. Now I'll move on to yourself, Declan O'Brien. A bit that really stood out this week, a headline was that the demand for marginal land is red hot. I suppose you mentioned in the story that kind of higher cap payments for more marginal land or for hill farmers maybe is kind of feeding into these higher prices and the demand that's there. I suppose, what kind of detail do we have on it, or what are we seeing? What are we seeing price wise, or what areas are kind of affected?
Well, I think everybody agrees that it's to check in the post. Not only are the higher payments, but that if you take also the likes of the organic scheme, you know, if you have enclosed hill land, that's also qualifies for payments. So it's really the check in the post that everybody is talking about. And one of the auctioneers had talked to Olivia Needham, said that even she's seeing interest now coming from Northern Ireland, where farmers there are looking south and saying, Jesus, look at the amount of payments we can secure on this land in the south and the low level of farming activity that will qualify you for it. Now, that being said, the local sheep farmers are probably the main buyers. And that, excuse me, that's what everybody is saying. You also have some investors that are buying and then leasing the land to young trained farmers, and you've young trained farmers coming on looking for it. But what Olivia Needham was the lady that says the market is red hot, and she was backed up in that by Billy Heffron. Olivia Needham is based in Westport and would deal with a lot of commonage ground running from the West Mayo and North Mayo right down into Connemara. So you'd be talking an area from Ballina really to South Connemara. So she was saying that she described the market as red hot. And Billy Heffron agreed with that. He was saying that if he could get 1,000 acres, he could let it straight away. And he was saying that so much land is now tied up in long-term leases that the land is not there. And it's a question of supply and demand. Now, they're saying that if you see the sale price of this commonage ground was running at, you know, around 700, 600, 700, 800 an acre, that's now gone up to in excess of 1,300 an acre. And Olivia Needham has 268-acre blocks outside Westport. And she's talking of those making in excess of 93,000. You know, so that's the level of demand that's there. And Heffron agreed that that's where the base price is. They both reckon that most of the commonage land is being rented or leased for 100, 120 euros an acre. But getting it is the problem. They say that there's farm consultants constantly on the phone to them looking for blocks of land, and they just can't be got. They can't be got. So there's another property at the moment there, 158 acres near Westport. That's been talked of at 30,000 euros for a year to lease that. Now, that is in a different kind of bracket because you have 16,000 worth of entitlements moving with that. But it just shows what the way the cap, the changes to cap, the increased payments are totally changing the land market, particularly for this hill land. And they're saying, like Billy Heffron is saying, he's in the game 35 years and he's never seen it as hot. And farmers, young trained farmers particularly, that often saw this as a way into farming, they're finding it difficult now to get their foot in the door, because the properties just aren't there.
Yeah, I suppose talking to one young farmer who does have the qualifications there and who is entitled to the young farmer scheme, they were saying, I suppose, when you add in the young farmer scheme, your ANC, if you're doing, you'll get the eco schemes on hill land handy enough. And if you get any kind of other sort of a scheme or anything as well, they all do add up, and they do make it a lot handier to pay back those leases and farm away. And I suppose it is a bit of positivity, I suppose, you could take from the hill trade. Not so long ago, there would have been a lot of talk about the hill sector being, I suppose, dominated by a lot of older farmers who might not be pushing on. But it does sound like there is still quite a bit of activity there.
Well, it puts an end to the talk of land abandonment. That is for sure, you know, and you talk to the young farmers, you know, that they can, if they work it right, they can talk, you're talking about 25,000 if they have your 50 hectare block, you know, they can secure payments up to a max of that. Now, whether you can throw the organics on top of that, you know, but you need the enclosed land at that stage, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's the bit of a stickler there, that you do need the enclosed land. But if you do have the enclosed land, you wouldn't be too far off.
You're on a serious winner.
Yeah. Plenty of interest there. And I suppose sticking With land, you have another story this week that there is a bit of a forestry development in Mayo. It's only 36 acres here, but from what I read on what you have in this week's paper, it's some sort of a French forestry, you might call it investment firm, or a kind of a large enough scale forestry firm that's looking to snap up these 36 acres in Mayo, but they're coming up against strong local resistance. I suppose maybe in this case, it's not necessarily just 36 acres of farmland that the locals might be concerned of, but kind of the combined impact of so many forestry developments and the added element of the backers of this coming from overseas might unsettle a few more locals as well. I suppose what's behind this story, Deck?
Well, it's just between Bell and Kilchima, a place called Craga, and the 36 acres is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, really, because it was a 186-acre farm, and this is the last block of it to be planted. And it's bringing it right down onto the road. Craga is like a plateau, goes up. It's a sharp hill and plateau behind Kilchima and Bell. So what locals are saying, and there's a kind of a Save Craga group there. And what they're saying is, look, we're carrying enough of a can in terms of planting. They're saying that more than 50% of the area is planted. They're saying that this, the remainder of this farm, which locals attempted to buy, but it didn't work out. But that they have now seen the whole 150 acres of it planted. This is the last block that brings it down to the road. They're saying that there's three other farms on the hill and behind the hill that are likely to go into plantations. And they're saying, look, they're planting people off the hills there. And they're saying that they're not against planting, they're not against forestry, but they're questioning, like other communities, right across, I suppose, the Northwest in particular, but around the country, they're saying, why not? This land could have taken native varieties, but instead it's been planted with Sitka spruce. It's right up against the doors of houses, and they're saying no. Now, whether they can block it or not is questionable, but it brings into kind of, brings into focus again that whole forestry debate, and particularly in light of what went on with Gresham House and with Quilcha, the fact that foreign companies or trust funds or whatever are liable to, or are allowed now to take the premier, albeit for a shorter space of time. So it also brings, I suppose, brings into the spotlight again the challenges that the forestry program as a whole is facing, you know. And you know why it illustrates why we're at just under hitting for 2,000 hectares again this year, you know, because large scale planting is a very divisive issue, and particularly when it's done by non-locals, and when local communities feel that they are being, that they are carrying the can while other areas are not. The Save Craga community would say they have a small school locally. It's a two-teacher school. It's got a great reputation, but they're struggling to keep it alive and keep it going. They say if they keep planting like this, that the school will definitely close. And what they're saying is, we need people, not trees. And that is where this argument starts and finishes, really. The likelihood is that more places around could come up, you know, and they're fearful of where this will stop. Will the whole area just be planted out? So it's a microcosm of that far bigger forestry debate. And it just highlights why a whole look at forestry policy really is needed to get communities like this on board and to get to get some debate locally on this.
Yeah, I suppose you summarised it fairly well there at the start of your piece, that it's not necessarily about 36 acres, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. And when you bring in kind of an investment fund side of things, and the fact that it'll be Irish, largely Irish taxpayers' money that will end up overseas without generating much employment locally, I suppose you can see why there is local opposition to these kind of developments.
But I think when you come down as well, Noel, when you bring it back to the local, I don't think the people don't care where the money is going. The people really don't care who's funding it. What they care about is the fact that they are going to have a 30 feet block of Sitka spruce in front of their house and around their school, and that their school could be closed down the line because of it. And I think they are the real core issues for the locals. All the funding and all that, they're the macro issues, but it's the micro issues that really set people alight.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I suppose I'll just flag at this stage that the Irish Farmers Journal Renewables Roadshow will be heading to Athlone on Tuesday. That's next Tuesday. Doors will open from 6:30 and the event will be kicking off at 7:30, and that's at the Athlone Springs Hotel. I was at the last kind of leg of the roadshow when it was in Coothill, County Cavan, and there was a lot of talk. This is last Tuesday now, and there was a lot of interest from farmers in kind of what to do if you're approached by a solar developer who might be looking to lease your land for 30 or 40 years for a solar, to put in solar panels on a large scale. And Teagasc Energy Specialist Barry Caslin was there. And I suppose what he had to say is where it would have been smaller sites of 20 acres that were looked for a couple of years ago, it's now sites of 200 acres that they might be looking to cobble up between a few farmers. But I suppose the interesting part from Caslin was that essentially farmers are in the strong position when they do go into negotiate, that these investment funds, they have plenty of back, and they are really looking to try and make these developments work. So farmers are essentially going down, sitting down at the table on quite favourable terms, and they should look to uphold those favourable terms in the negotiations. So there was quite a bit of interest there. And if you are interested in the whole renewable side of things, be it rooftop solar or retrofitting your own house, if you're interested in the anaerobic digestion side of things, there's plenty of information there for that event, which is completely free. That's next Tuesday. And finally, Rachel, I'll move over to yourself. I suppose taking it back to more kind of current issues. Again, we were chatting, the beef trade is up, farmers are flat out with field work, plenty of tractors on the road. I suppose, what's that doing to the fertiliser trade, and is it impacting prices or volumes or both or neither?
Yeah, so fertiliser has picked up, Noel, but prices have remained, I suppose, relatively unchanged since February, March, and there's no talks of them dropping any further until, I suppose, into the month of May, which when they normally would drop, I suppose, and demand falls off. But it's hard to know exactly what way that will go this year, seeing as farmers were so late starting to buy. It's just hard to see what way prices will go. But there definitely is a big uptake in fertiliser sales this week. I spoke to a number of merchants around the country. Here in Tip, one merchant described fertiliser as failing out the gate. He said ground dried up around here very well in the last week, and farmers are just mad to get in and get fertilizer out on ground, as it, I suppose, before the weather breaks. Even today now it's a good bit colder, but there's talks of rain and that kind of bad weather to come back again. So in other parts of the country, in Cavan, I spoke to a co-op up there, and you know, while ground is still a bit tender in places up there, there are still lots of farmers getting out with fertilizer, and whether that it's might not be in your conventional method of tractor and fertilizer spreader, they're going out with ton and half ton spreaders on the back of quads, just to, I suppose, they are desperate really to get it out, because it went so late in the year to get your fertilizer out. And then I suppose in terms of prices, Noel, as I said, they have remained relatively unchanged, and you're talking still around 460 euros to 470 euros a ton for urea, and for CAN then you're talking around the 370 euros a ton mark. And just in terms of protected urea, I'll roll back there a little bit, you're talking another 50 to 60 euros a ton on top of your urea price for protected products. So I suppose they've really been the same for the last couple of months, as long as I've been reporting on them, and from what I can see, CAN and urea both appear to be around 30 euros to 40 euros a ton cheaper in those border counties. And I suppose that's probably always the case, that they could better deals can be got up around there. But in terms of deals then down here, both in the Republic and Northern Ireland, farmers, and depends on the co-op, I think it's nearly more common with smaller independent merchants, but deals of between 10 euros and 15 euros a ton down here are being done on, say, taking off the quoted price of fertilizer if you pay within 2 or 3 weeks of delivery, or if you pay on delivery. You know, there's, so there are deals there for, and also for bigger volumes, so maybe over 10 ton for farmers who are, I suppose, that bit swifter with the payments. There's incentives there. But yeah, definitely a big go of fertilizer this week. A lot of bulk spreaders, co-ops out with bulk spreaders spreading this week, and farmers themselves. So I suppose that was inevitable when that dry spell came and there was talks of it breaking. You know, that's always going to be in the back of farmers' minds.
And then another bit of an update that you have in this week's paper, plenty of cattle are turned out, so maybe farmers aren't looking at it as an option as much, but there was a fodder transport scheme announced back a couple of weeks ago. Has there been much farmer interest in it? I know it might seem strange to think that farmers were looking to draw fodder over such large distances such a short time ago, but that was the scheme that was brought forward as a support for the wet weather for livestock farmers. What has been the interest among farmers? How many are looking for funding under the scheme?
Yeah, so no, this was the fodder transport support measure, and it was basically for farmers who were getting silage or who needed silage, and it was more than 75 kilometres away, they could avail of this subsidy. And it was 40 euros a bale for silage, 30 euros a bale for hay, in this kind of a transport subsidy, you could call it. But very relatively low interest, Noel. 7 farmers applied, and it's open since the 9th of April, and it applies for silage bought from the 1st of April onwards. They have another 3 weeks to show their interest if they do. But I do think, and I know you mentioned there are a lot more farmers with stock out, and so especially dairy farmers are out by day and by night. Dry stack farmers are getting out where they can and when they can. But I do think that the big turnoff here with this scheme, Noel, was that the silage or the hay or the straw, whatever you were getting, the fodder had to come from more than 75 kilometres away. And I suppose that was maybe the turn off and the part the farmers couldn't get their heads around. You know, there was probably lots of silage locally for them to source, which they probably went ahead and did. I know a good few farmers around here at home went that route and they didn't bother with the scheme. So I suppose maybe the distance that the silage had to come probably was a turn off. But yeah, just 7 farmers applied. Obviously, 3 weeks left from today, the closing date, the 15th of May, for farmers who are short of silage to apply for the subsidy. And the department just confirmed to us yesterday that the average number of bales received per farmer for the 7 farmers who did apply was 34. So it appears that it was all bales that were secured and no pit silage and maize silage were included in the measure as well. So an interesting one, and we might keep an eye on figures and see by the end and by the 15th of May how many farmers did avail and how many bales were sourced under the scheme.
We'll definitely keep an eye on that, but by all accounts it is shaping up to be a very cheap scheme for the department to have ran. And then finally we'll just hear briefly kind of what the latest is on this revenue VAT claim back debacle. It's been going on for months now, but there was a bit of news that came out of an ICMSA meeting, the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, when they sat down with revenue this week. I suppose very briefly, what's the update for farmers? Is there any changes on the items that are in or out, or any kind of clarity coming to this issue that's been dragging on for quite a while now?
Yeah, so there has been some clarity provided, Noel, but I suppose the caveat is that there is a list, I suppose a new revised document coming from revenue of eligible items for VAT reclaim. But what we could learn at ICMSA, sat down with revenue on Monday, and I suppose they mentioned all the difficulties this has caused and concerns this has raised for farmers. But essentially, what we know so far and what is being included is silage barriers, water trucks that have been plumbed, cubicle mats that are bolted to the floor, meal bins above a specified size, in parallel feeding systems, bulk tanks and milking machines. So I suppose there was a number of those which became as good news to farmers, but you still see, you know, cubicle mats that are bolted to the floor. There's a few different things there, obviously, that these can't be items that you can take away, and the idea is that these can't be items that you can lift up and sell on. Obviously, I don't know too many farmers who will put down mats and try to sell them on. But anyway, that's what they're saying, that they have to be bolted to the floor. And the few items that are still excluded, which came from the meeting on Monday, are automatic calf feeders and robotic scrapers. So they're still excluded. But as I said, a proper full list of items is going to be provided into the month of May. We're not sure of a date yet, but that's what ICMSA told us on Tuesday after their meeting on Monday. So I suppose some more clarity for farmers on what they can budget for, or what they can expect to get the VAT back on, but probably still more talking and debating to be done on this, Noel. And just on the meal bins, they had to be over 10 tonne to get the VAT back on them, and I seem to say argued on Monday that that's too high, that the smaller meal bins should be included, and they said that they will review it. So hopefully revenue are open to reviewing different things, and the new list will, as I said, provide more clarity for farmers.
There'll be a lot of eyes waiting on this list that's to come next month, but that's all we have time for on this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. Don't forget to pick up your copy of this week's Irish Farmers Journal for the latest in farming news. And thanks again for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.